Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Madge is going to join me in about 40 minutes, just for a couple of minutes, but I got to talk to Madge. I mean, what a great tribute last night. Oh, that is an interesting-looking mug to put on that big Citi Field scoreboard as they praise, they let everybody know Madge had his 5,000th straight Met games. I'm sure probably feels more like 20,000 after some of the Met seasons he's been through. But at least it's on the uptick here, so Madge will join me coming up this hour. BT and Sal here, as I said, back to the Nick Coles. We'll do a little baseball later on as well. But right now, let me get Dante in East Brunswick. What's happening, Dante? How are you?
Hey, BT, how we doing, man?
Good.
I'm thinking, obviously, this has nothing to do with this current version of the Knicks, but have you been paying attention to the Timberwolves series and the series that Julius Randle
Minnesota 1-5, yeah.
Yeah, and if you look at the series, he played great. He shot over 50%. And I think, you know, the biggest thing with him here was always the playoff, you know, his playoff resume.
Yes.
And I think it ties into Leon Rose. I think that trade kind of, even though Cat's a great player and he's got a lot of skill level, I think losing Dante and Julius, it kind of, you know, that edge, that toughness.
Yeah.
I think that kind of, you know, tied. I think we'd be in a better off spot. I don't know.
We've gone back and forth on this so much, me and Sal. And it's interesting, but we'll never know the answer. You had to make the move. Number one, again, just so you guys know, like, we can blame teams with certain things, and then but we got to be fair. The Hartenstein thing was a CBA thing. It was a collectively bargained aspect of being an NBA player, where the retention of Hartenstein was impossible. Because, what was it, only partial bird rights, I want to say? So the most they could offer him was $16.1 million, and he outperformed that by a massive margin. I think he loved being a Knick. I know the Knicks loved having him. I know he fit like a glove. He was a great teammate. His teammates loved him. But come on, somebody knocks down your door with that kind of cash. See ya. Goodbye. Later. And he did it. So I don't begrudge him. It's not the Knicks' fault. And come on, you had to make the trade for Towns. And you got to give up something, and Dante DiVincenzo had a lot of... I mean, nobody loves him more than me. I was hyping up Dante DiVincenzo forever. Miss him, still, you know? But if they didn't make... Let's say that Hartenstein left because he was going to, and they kept Randall and they kept DiVincenzo. Do you really think the Knicks are closer to a championship? I mean, do they still have Bridges? I mean, let's look at the two ways. Without Bridges... Well, if they didn't know, they wouldn't have given up. Well, hold on. Now, so let's say without Bridges, they're not a championship team, in my opinion. And with Bridges and with Randall and with they're still not a championship team. No, they don't have an Anthony Edwards type. They don't have a Shea Gil. I mean, Brunson's amazing. They don't have Shea Gil, just Alexander. They don't have Jason Tatum, who's already a pro, a champion. So I just think there's a lot of things that are easy to conjure up and maybe criticize or at least wonder about. I think speculate. Sure, that's part of the deal. I get it. But no, I do not think they would be a championship team with Randall. Well, I got a lot of love for Julius. Chris in East Hanover. Chris.
Hey, BT. How you doing, man? Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
One quick note. By the way, your son always plays my nephew in baseball, and they can never beat you guys, and it drives them crazy. So keep it up.
What team is he on?
Oh, Park East.
Park East. They're a tough little team, man. I don't think we've lost to them, but they're good games. Park East is pretty good. I got respect for them.
Yeah, they are good games. I was at the last one, but they still couldn't get you guys. So. And my brother does my brother crazy, so keep it up.
All right, man.
You know, long time Knicks fan, man. I go back to the days, you know, watching these guys, Ewing and everybody, and obviously with that championship, if it wasn't for Jordan. But, you know, I agree with you, man. There is something about this team that is just unpredictable. Who's going to show up what night? Who's not? And even to the last caller, like, you want to blame Tibbs, and the guys were sitting, you know, Jalen was on the sideline. But you know what? Mikal Bridges and Kat had tons of shots that missed on that on fourth quarter. And it's like, we haven't closed out a home game since 1999. You're in your home crowd, and you still can't perform. And now we got to go sweat this out in Detroit. They're going to be going nuts. I agree with you. I don't know what's going to come up with tonight. And to that point, I do think Hartenstein was a huge loss. We don't have that grit. You know, the only time we showed a little bit of moxie, and there's a word for you too, BT.
A little moxie. I got you.
Was game four when Cat, you know, with the shoving and the pushing and, you know, we finally stood up for ourselves. Otherwise, you know, Detroit has outplayed us this whole entire series.
Yeah. And, you know, by the way, and Chris, thanks for the call. I'm sure I'll see your brother-in-law. Yep. And hopefully I'll see you on the diamond, man. I love being with the kids. It's awesome. They're a good little team. Well coached, too. It's not like they played well and they lost because Detroit played slightly better. They didn't even play well. They shot 59% from the floor. Pardon me, 59% from free throw line. Wish they shot 59% from the floor. 59% from the free throw line. Jalen Brunson had his worst game of the series. Shot 25%. I think he was 4 for 16. Like, there was a lot wrong with that. Then, you know, throwing the miscues by Tom Thibodeau. You know, 2 minutes and 57 seconds to go. One timeout. Tick, 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 tick. You know, Brunson watching. Josh Hart watching. Yeah, we're not going to bring in Mariano. We're going to go to Ramiro Mendoza instead. That's what happened. So, it's easier to, and it would still be frustrating, because you're favored in the series. You were favored that night. You're at home. But, like, at least if they lost and they played a crisp game and they were efficient, I could say, I wouldn't say this because I would still be pissed off. Like, just win, you know. But it's even less acceptable when you just don't play well. Then it's unacceptable. Josh is in Smithtown. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, so just really quickly, you know, I think I'd rather hear, you know, using some sophisticated vocabulary over Evan, who literally makes up words and doesn't know what words mean, you know, not to throw shots at any other host.
Well, listen, one thing I can't do, John. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate the support. You know, I like to know that you appreciate what I bring to the table intellectually, but I'm not here to take shots at the others. That's not what I do. So let's lay off Ev. Ev's a good guy. He's a smart guy.
No, I love him. You know, it's just one of those, you know, many quirky things he does. That's all.
Yeah, we're all quirky. This is a zoo over here. Not one of us is normal. I got news for you.
You know, you touched on it a little bit about, you know, what we kind of expected from this team. And, you know, I don't know how often you see a team, you know, replace two starters with two pretty big trades and immediately be championship team, you know. And maybe it's me trying to take a step back, but I think we have to be a little bit more patient. I think, you know, you've been touching on it the past few days. The biggest problem is I think they have the pieces. I don't think they have the tactician to put it together, like you've been saying. I don't think, you know, they need to be in the right spots. We need to get Bridges' confidence back.
Yep.
I don't think Tibbs is the guy to get that confidence back. But I think when you consider, you know, the strong wing pieces, the point guard, the center, Cat, a big guy who can shoot, all these things they have, they should be ready to go, but there's just something amiss.
Yeah, and it's very, very... It's frustrating because I can't really identify, you know, I can give you theories and thoughts, and we have, and I have, but like if I were to sit down before the year and I would say, all right, here's what the Knicks have on paper. They've got, you know, and I understand you could debate the range and the merits of the superstardom level that Brunson's at, but I mean, we all know he's a star, so let's just go, star point guard, who, oh yeah, by the way, is efficient and clutch and unselfish. you know, two wings that could shoot the heck out of it, both 40% from the corner, two wings who could defend, you know, one rim protecting, offensive rebounding machine who was an absolute beast in the paint, Mitch, another, you know, 7-1, highly skilled, good passer, good handle for a big, incredible range for a big, Karl Anthony Towns, who's in the prime of his career, good foul shooter as well. Like everything, I mean, now the bench, you get to check that box and it's not what it needs to be. But, you know, Josh Hart, who I don't even think should be starting on a championship team, but he does. Josh Hart, you know, high energy, does a little bit of everything, you know, outside of shooting, although he shot better this series, you know, rebounds, runs the break, can finish, he's tough, he's a great teammate, could defend. So, like, all these things that are on paper, you would say to yourself, well, why can't they win the suit? Why can't they be a champion?
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
They just don't look like champions. It's just really as simple. It's just simple. Boy, it's complex, really, but it's actually simple. It's a little bit of both. Let me get Devin in Boston. This is not the former closer for the Yankees. Is it Devin? What's going on, buddy?
Hey, BT. How are you? Good morning.
Good. What's happening, dude?
Not much. I just wanted to let you know, I'm not sure if anyone brought this to your attention, but you were on the local news last night up in Boston on Channel 4. They had a couple clips of you talking about if the Knicks do advance, it could be compared to Yankees Red Sox in 2004. Wasn't sure if that was brought to your attention yet, but just
I obviously knew that I did the spot. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. Hopefully, it came out pretty well. I guess it was. I know it was Channel 4, and I was on with my guy Malcolm. And you know, he wanted to talk about Knicks Celtics. I'm like, dude, I don't even know if we're going to beat the Pistons, but I'll give you some content for your newscast. I had a lot of fun. I got to check it out.
All right. I just wanted to give you a heads up
on that. Thank you.
The other thing I wanted to mention was kind of I'm agreeing with a lot of the points that have been made in your general consensus all year long on the Knicks. I think what we said was, or what you have been saying was, you know, we'll find out what this team really is in the playoffs, right? And the regular season was kind of a testing ground to see if the team will gel with the new pieces that we acquired in Cat and Bridges, et cetera. I think, in my opinion, this is kind of an indictment on Thibs. The team hasn't really progressed while we show well on paper. It's the playoffs, right? It's a different mentality now. We got to see if there's some fight in this team. And personally, I haven't really seen it. Cat spends a lot of his time complaining than he does really just locking in and saying, I'm going to dominate this game.
He's the whole team does. Talent. Bunch of complainers. They're always whining.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. They spend so much time complaining rather than just saying, okay, it's the playoffs. Just lock in and dominate. They have talent on paper, but they can't beat Detroit, for example, or we'll see. But Detroit is way ahead of schedule, a younger team, way less talented on paper. To me, that's sort of an indictment on coaching. And last year, for example, right, we used to kill Randall. The ball offensive, you know, the ball used to stop with Randall.
Mm-hmm.
It continues to stop, right? And Randall's gone.
Yeah.
So that, to me, is an indictment of the offense. We never have an offensive plan. It really just seems we run around and see who can get the last shot. If Jalen can create for himself, great, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I think, in my opinion, this team is personally capped out by a coaching perspective, because if you can't get the most out of your players, you can't coach them up. Our offensive strategy is non-existent, the same. And he's supposedly a defensive mind. And, okay, we do play with some toughness, but it's not – we haven't played a great game all postseason, a complete game.
Yeah.
And Cat's consistently inconsistent, so is Bridges. Mm-hmm. And so I think if those two guys are consistently inconsistent, we'll see what we get with OG. Then it all comes back down to Jalen. And I thought the reason we made these moves was to give Brunson some weapons – and see what we can have. The other thing that does scare me is the window for this team is kind of closing. All that to say, I really hope that they come out tonight and dominate and win the series, and then we'll see what happens with Boston. I'm not super confident in that, but we'll see what happens one step at a time.
It's a good call. Honestly, I think
thanks, BT. Appreciate you, man.
No, thank you, Devin. I appreciate you making the call from Boston. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, the window of the Knicks is a very interesting topic here. I said I think they've got, well, with this group, I mean, they're going to have to make moves, but just to keep the conversation moving, I've said 2 years, and people are like, 2 years? What are you, nuts? Jalen's in his prime. This guy's in his prime. You got this, you got that, you got this. Okay, I understand that. But what you have to incorporate as well is what's happening with the rest of the Eastern Conference. Like, guys, it's not just, all right, well, for the next year or two, or if you think it's three, which I think is ambitious, whatever, but if you do think it's 3 years, it's not just the Celtics and the Cavaliers. What's going to happen is the Pistons are only going to get better and better and better. The Orlando Magic, who are very banged up, are only going to get better and better and better. You know, this is very fluid. You can't just fixate on the two teams that are above the Knicks in the standings. Yeah, that's certainly part of the issue as well. But you've got to incorporate at least two, maybe a third team below them in the standings. So I would say it's a 2-year window. I don't know how you go a whole lot more than that. I am not prepared to do that. Art's in Easton, and I don't even think it's 2 years because I don't think this group's going to win. Art's in Easton, Connecticut. Art, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Great show. Just a couple comments real quick on the state of the Knicks. One, you know, we have to realize Brunson is injured. He was out. You watch him, he re-sprains that ankle. I got to give him credit. If you ever played sports and you sprain, you get a bad ankle sprain, it stays sprained for a year, you know, or more.
Well, that's not entirely true, but we do give him credit for being tough. Not a year. Come on.
Well, I'm just saying,
you come back from Achilles in a year.
I'm saying it ends up being loose. You know, it's looser than when you didn't roll it and tear it. You know, it is. You can see him. He's grimacing. He's getting rolled on. So he's not at optimum. Let's just say that. He might be 70, 80%.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he needs his feet. The other thing is the play calling. Like, they're facing up on the guy, okay? No surprise. Full court. If you ever watch the Steph Curry, we got to run that guy, Brunson, off of 3, 4, 5 picks. We got to get him picked in right away, full court, and make those guys pay for facing up on him. And then, finally, let's get some pick and rolls with Towns.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Hit the great three, you know, but can you imagine Brunson and Towns on what do you call it? Pick and roll.
Yes, come on. Oh, that's what I thought they were going to do. I mean, what?
Yeah,
that's to me. That was going to be the essence of their offense here.
True. And again, I think he's hindered. I mean, I got to tell you, because then we're like, hey, he goes in the locker room, he comes out like Superman. You know, they're shooting him up, whatever they're doing. I think they're taping him up, whatever. But the guy, you got to say, he's got grit, because again, you missed the whole month.
Oh, he's a beast.
Ankles are tough.
Yeah. Nobody, thanks for the call, buddy. Nobody's disputing the toughness and the competitive spirit of Jalen Brunson. And if you do, then you just don't know anything about sports. I don't know what to tell you. Go listen to music instead, because that guy is, I mean, he's not perfect because he's not 6'6", and he doesn't jump out of the gym, but in terms of being wired the right way, like being seemingly an egoless superstar, kind of like Aaron Judge, low maintenance, left money on the table for the betterment, for the greater good of the team, you know, clutch, he gets hurt, he gets up. If he doesn't get up right away, eventually he still finds his way back in the game. He's everything you want. So, you know, nobody's here to disparage Jalen Brunson at all. I mean, he's amazing. We're lucky to have him, you know. We need him more than he needs us. That's for sure. Chris Magikowski, Madge, the immortal one, as many of you know him by and as Magic Man, Madge. But 5,000 straight Met games last night as a producer and an engineer. And do we know what year? Was it 87 or 88 his first year?
I think it was 88.
88.
Oh, he just told me 93.
Oh, wow. Good job. You were very close. You only missed it by 5 years. I mean,
yeah, well.
I mean, come on, Dove. Hey, see, this is what I mean about Dove. So I ask him, now, nobody knows more, well, nobody should know more about WFAN than this man. He is a man of the cloth. He is a man of intellect. But he is a man who should know simple things, who never does.
One second. What? I should remember exactly the year that Chris started his job?
No, but you shouldn't be off by 5 years.
Well, my thought process was that I remember Dave DeAngelis did it before Chris.
Okay.
I was in the process when they made the transition. I thought it was earlier in our history than it was.
Okay. So you were saying 90. So he said 93.
Correct.
There you go. Thank you very much, Dove. Took us a ways to get there, but we got there. All right, so Matt will join me coming up next. We'll get back to these calls in a minute. 888-881-9. All right, so, listen, I don't know what Aaron Judge is going to finish up with from an average perspective this year. Now, Sal asked me the other day what I would deem more impressive. You know, the bonds, and I can't even say bonds with the mark because, you know, he's got it. But we know it's not real, even though he was amazing. 73 home run stop. Sosa with 66 and 65. Such a stupid era in baseball. That really ruined all this for all of us. Like, if you were old enough to sit there and watch these roided freaks do what they did, on some level, doesn't there have to be a dilution of enjoyment? Oh, hold on. Pardon me. Dilution. D-I-L-L-D-I-O-N. A dilution of enjoyment? Because we saw what we saw, even though we know that it was artificially enhanced, it's impossible to forget what you saw completely. Even if we rationalize, hey, this guy cheated, this guy that. And he asked me, you know, what would be more impressive? Hitting over 400 or shattering the single season home run mark. And I think it's 400. I really do. I mean, we've seen incredible displays of power from Judge and Pete, 53 home runs, which broke Judge's rookie home run mark. But, man, you hit 400. You really can't have a month where you hit 207. You just can't. No matter how tired you are, no matter, you know, how much they're pitching around you because Bellinger behind you, or he didn't play you in pinch hit last night, or whomever's behind you is not nearly good enough to give you the support that you deserve. But I don't know. I don't want to say that he can't do it. I'm not going to put a limit on Aaron Judge. I'm not. You want to do it, you can. But I just can't. I don't believe that. Well, I guess maybe I am going to say that. How the hell is this guy going to hit 400? Honestly, 400, really. You know, I was looking at some of the more unbreakable major league single season marks. There are some wacky ones. Now, back in the day, you know, you had two-man rotations. You had the dead ball era, which obviously helped out the pitchers. And then after the 68 World Series and the 68 season with Gibson and the Tigers, of course, with Lolich, I mean, they wound up raising the mound, which obviously was meant to counteract, give the game some more offense. Or they lowered the mound, pardon me. They lowered the mound to get a more advantage for the hitter there, and it worked. So there's been so many different eras in baseball that it's really hard to speak in one broad brush or stroke, if you will. But, man, some of this stuff from back in the day, just listen to this. The mark for most complete games in a season is 75. Like, that's the low-hanging fruit. Obviously, nobody's breaking that. I saw the mark for most outfield assists. You know, Soto throws somebody out at the plate the other day, which, by the way, was up the line and a good play by the catcher, just to be clear. And, you know, it was, oh, what an amazing arm. Wow, what a throw. The mark for outfield assists in a season is 50. The mark for wins in a season is 60. The mark for innings pitched is just below 700. I mean, this is wacky stuff. This is like a lot of it's pre-1900, no minority, so the game was not nearly as good in terms of talent, because it was a limited pool of talent. So there's a lot to consider, but man, like if I had to take a guess right now, what do I think Aaron Judge, he's at 427, dude, it really is nuts. What do I think that he finishes at? Maybe he's going to have one of these years where he does hit 360-ish. Maybe I can get on board with that. I'd probably have to set that as the ceiling. I'm saying around 360, but man, I'm rooting like hell. And I guess with him, I wouldn't be stunned with anything. Hoff, do me a favor. I'm going to get back to the calls. Can you, just out of curiosity, so I'm terrible at math. As good as the words are, math is worse. The numbers on Judge, let's just say, I just want to see where this would take him. He's at 427 now. If he were to go 0 for his next 30, what would his average be? So just calculate, you know how to do it. You go with that. All right, 888-808-1019. Let's get, how about Carl in Shelton, Connecticut? What's up, Carl?
Hey, BT, what's up, bro? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy. What's cooking?
You got it. Listen, so I'm having an argument with one of my friends.
All right.
I'm saying Judge is on the same level as Barry Bonds,
yep.
Same level, same class. He's saying, as far as a pure hitter, he's saying that I'm crazy and it's not close. I wanted to hear your opinion.
I think it's a lot closer than your buddy thinks. I think it's impossible to give you the real answer because we all know what what Barry Bonds did. I would say I'm a lot more with you than not. So I don't know if that does that settle? Does that get you the win for the bet, or do you need a little bit more, Carl?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. That wins me.
You dropped out, man. I wanted to hear the rest of that. So just before I get the numbers on Judge, this hypothetical 0 for 30 slide, just to see where he would be, and I'll give you a guess as well. Like the thing about Bonds, right? And I watched him. I watched him young, skinny, pre-drug Bonds. And he was obviously amazing. All right? But, yeah, the game was different. You know, Barry Bonds comes up, plays 113 games. He gets 223. Now, remember, he played in college. He wasn't like Griffey, who got drafted at 18 and was up in the show basically right after that. He went to, I believe it was Arizona State, I think. But he played in college, and you can't get drafted in college baseball until after your junior year, all right, or unless you go to JUCO. So he hits 223. Then he hits 261 in 150 games with 25 home runs and 59 ribbies. And then he hits, in year three, 144 games, all right, goes 283, hits 24 home runs, has 58 RBIs. And then in year four, he's got a war of eight this year, but he has 19 home runs, 58 RBIs, and he hits 248, and his OPS is 777. So Am I supposed to think that the Bonds that we saw, the freakish cartoon jacked up roid head, was the real Barry Bonds? There's no way I'm believing that, because I'm old enough to have watched him roll into Shea Stadium as a good, intriguing, electric, this one's for Sal, quick twitch athlete who suddenly blossomed into this ridiculous specimen that was artificially enhanced, obviously. So at the end of the day, now I've got to incorporate that nuance, so I'll give you a more direct answer. Yeah, I think Judge is better. I do. Have you, okay, you've got the numbers. So he's at 427. I'm going to take a guess. I mean, it's still kind of early, but deep
enough.
And
you said 0 for 30?
Oh, I said 0 for 30. So he's at 427. If Judge were to go 0 for his next 30, I'm going to say he's hitting 370. Nah, 375.
Nah, 340.
That much he would drop.
Yeah. If he went 0 for 27, it was 347.
Good job on that, Hoff.
That's math. I'm actually not terrible with math. That's the one thing I did halfway decent in school.
God, I hated it. I just try to cheat on math tests. I'm just going to come correct.
Now, I'm good with the adding, subtracting, dividing. I know, but that's part of it.
That's part of it. Yeah, when you're in the second grade, that's part of it.
That's the good stuff I'm good at.
All right, I'm going to give you a little Hoff quiz, right? But it's got to be quick, quick, quick. And this is basic, easy stuff, but you got to answer right away. 9 times 7, go.
56?
No, that's 8 times 7.
I don't know.
What?
I'm not thinking.
Eight times eight.
Why are we doing this here? 64.
Because you said you were good in math, and I wanted to see if you were talking specs.
Yeah, I know, but like, I'm not, yeah, well.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're doing, yes, 56.
9 times 7.
82.
63. 9 times 8.
I don't remember.
I don't know if he's just playing coy to just act like a dope, or you got to know that stuff, dude.
Yes, of course, but like you want it within a second, and I'm just like not even.
But
like,
these are reflexive. You should know these. Like these are. This is not like.
Yeah, but you got. But here's the thing: is you got to give me like. I'm a 2 second guy. Like, give me two seconds.
I'm two second. You're a 2 second That's, guy.
Yeah. Yes. When answering questions.
Oh boy, clip that.
I'm a 2 second guy. Yeah, that well,
clip that. Yeah, context means nothing with drops, as we know.
Yes.
Clip it.
Dove, it's
quote,
all you.
I'm a 2 second guy. Congrats.
I'll clip that one, too.
Yeah, yeah. We got yours on lock now. Yours was clean.
Hey, on a serious note, your middle son, did he write a book? What was that?
He got published again, yeah.
He got published again?
Like, twice. This is the second time. Dove keeps on going, like, your kid got published again? I'm like, I didn't remember the first time, but yes, he keeps on getting published.
So it's like a book, a compilation of, what is it?
Stories.
Yeah. Sixth grade? What grade?
He's in sixth grade.
Okay.
And it's like the Eastchester schools, but it's all New York, too. It's not just Eastchester, but a lot of the Eastchester kids submit for it. And he was one of a bunch of people that got published, but he keeps on getting second time. So I'm very cool.
Wow. Does he want to be an author, or is it just like a hobby?
I actually have no idea what he wants to do.
There you go. Dad would ask questions.
I have no idea. Yeah. I didn't know he wrote. So yeah. I thought he was a musician.
Yeah,
I know
that you told me that when we first started working together. Is he still doing that?
Yeah. No, okay. He's moved on to another instrument. He was doing the sax before, but I think he's on a different level of sax.
And
so.
This is your kid? He sounds. How is this kid yours?
Well, he's not. He's my stepkid. But,
no, but I mean, he's in my house. You.
He's in my vicinity. Well, I'm a wait. Hold on a second. I'm a music connoisseur. Don't you remember?
That's true. I do remember that.
I do a little bit
you
of
know
everything.
Your music. Yeah, yeah. A little bit of everything. Usually in 2 seconds or less. All right.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
Wow. Dovey pulled up an old jam, huh? Well, all right, BT and Sal back on The Fan. You know, there's other music that I prefer from a baseball perspective, but this is an amazing accomplishment, and let's face it. I mean, this guy's he's a staple in New York. I mean, New York sports, he has been on the scene forever. He's as good as they come. He doesn't pursue the spotlight, but it found them last night. It found them last night as we found out that Chris Majakowski produced and engineered his 5,000th consecutive game for the Mets, which means, you know, no pneumonia, or if you have it, you're still going to grind it and go to work. No weddings or nothing. I mean, there's a game. Madge is in the house, and he's with me, and I've known him for a long time. So I wanted to pop him on the air today. Chris, what's going on, buddy? Welcome to the show. How you doing, man?
Good, BT. How are you?
Awesome. First of all, congratulations. Now,
did St. John sign anyone today?
No, but they spent about $2 million the other day just to get one player. They crushed it, man. And listen, you referenced the St. John's because you and I have done a lot of games together, but you cut your teeth. You started. What was that? So that was 93. When did you get out of Fordham?
In 89.
All right, so you get out of Fordham in 89. Now, you know, whether it's on the air like me or behind the scenes like you, it's hard to break into the industry, especially in New York, which is why I had to travel around the country, you know, and learn my trade a little bit. How did you get connected with the fan? And like, it took a couple of years. How did you get the job that you got?
I started working with a company, JBF Remote Service. It was Joel Blumberg and Brian Ferguson. You might remember Brian from the Yankees radio. And Joel had done stuff all around town and all that. And unfortunately, both are passed at this point. But I started working with them. I was working primarily just visiting shows. I worked with Harry Callis and Harry Carey at Shea when the Phillies and the Cubs came in.
Wow.
So that's how I got started, again, with the visiting teams.
Yep.
And then I got in at the Garden because Brian would take off for spring training with the Yankees, and they eased me in there to do some of the Knicks and Rangers stuff.
Okay.
By
the way, Chris, similar time frame, you're talking mid-90s with Riley,
yes,
and the Rangers?
90s. Early 90s.
Oh, early 90s. Go ahead.
Early 90s, yep. You know, 90, 91, 92.
Okay.
And from working some of those games that were on Fan at the time, I got to know Eric Spitz.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love Spitzy.
And then, as we say, one thing led to another.
Yeah.
And eventually I slid into the Mets job in May of 93.
Okay, so, you know, you've had some amazing moments here. You know, a couple of World Series with the Mets and, you know, a lot of tough seasons, as we know. Do you almost become desensitized to the tough seasons? Because the one thing, like, you're at, I see you at the Garden. I see you with St. John's. I see you in Queens. You do the Knicks. You do the Rangers. You do football. You do the Mets, obviously. Like, do you ever just get tired of sports?
That is a very good question that we can all ask ourselves.
Honestly,
right?
Yeah.
You know, and yes, in working in the business, do you become a little bit desensitized to it? Especially in my case, where I'm sitting in the back of the booth, so if something big does happen, I can't exactly be hollering out and all that, and I got to make sure that I don't blow the mix on the board.
Yeah.
I've got to be paying attention to that. When, just off baseball for a second, but I was mixing the show when the Giants beat the Patriots on the Manning's pass to Plaxico.
Wow.
And as that's happening, my thought isn't the Giants might win the Super Bowl here. My first thought was, don't screw up the mix on this because it's going to be on NFL films forever if they score.
Yeah, man.
So that's going through my mind sometimes more so than what's going out on the field.
Wow. So, okay, was Murph the first radio voice that you really worked with? Was it Bob Murphy?
Well, in the Mets booth, Murph and Gary. But like I said, I had worked with Harry Callis.
Yep.
And Harry Carey used to do some innings on the Cubs broadcast. So when they came into Shea, I had to go downstairs with the tape recorder, give Harry Carey a mic while he interviewed the manager, while running a stopwatch and signaling him with my fingers, okay, you've done 1 minute, two, three, four, and then he knew he had a wrap-up.
Yep.
So
wow.
That was like one of my first gigs, one of my first assignments when I started to get into this business.
How was Murphy? I mean, his voice is legendary, you know, just the old-timer. What was Murph like back in the day?
Oh, Murph, you know, old-timer. That's exactly, you know, that's exactly it, you know. And he and Gary had their moments, certainly, in the booth. It just the old-time, you know, we're just doing the ball game here. And but Murph was always very good to me.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the when Dave DeAngelis, I think Dove might have mentioned his name, had left. And the first year in 93, they had someone else engineering the games, and it was a little bit rocky, I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Come back from the All-Star break off the road, and I met Joy Murphy, Bob's wife, for the first time. And Murph introduces me to Joy, and she said, "I just want to thank you so much." I said, "Why?" He said, "Bob is so much calmer when he gets home after, from the ballpark every night."
Okay, that's a good compliment for you. Yeah. All right. Who tagged you the immortal one? Was that Howie? Who
that was Gary.
Oh, it was Gary.
That was the work of Gary Cohen.
And when did that start? How long ago? What was the first time he dropped it?
Well, I mean, Gary was, you know, I worked with him from 93 until he moved over to SNY in 05.
Yeah.
I also did the St. John's games
with Gary.
Gary and Eddie Coleman. C.
Eddie yes. C. They were good together.
Yes.
I liked them
yes.
together. Yeah. They're better than me and Mink.
No one's better than you and Mink. Bingo. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. But Eddie was great because at that time we were also doing a visiting opponents interview on the pregame show.
Oh, God, yeah.
And Eddie would stroll in at, you know, let's say we have an 8 o'clock tip against UConn.
Mm-hmm.
And Eddie would stroll in a little bit after 7. I said, "Hey, you got the, you know, I'll be right back." He would just go down, he'd get Jim Calhoun, uh-huh. and come back and have the interview. Ed, 45 minutes before the game, you're going to get Calhoun. Oh, I'll be right back.
Man.
And so, here comes Eddie C. with the Calhoun interview.
He got the job done, as he always did. We're talking to Chris Majakowski, the immortal one. Madge, you guys have heard the name forever. He's been a part of the scene forever. 5,000 straight Met games, and I'm happy you had your moment last night on the big board. Now, when you do that many games, invariably along the way, Chris, you're missing some family commitments. You're missing a wedding. You're missing a birthday. You're missing an anniversary. How tough has that been for you?
God. You know, there have been times when I should have been elsewhere, but we couldn't disrupt the streak. And, you know, we've worked around it. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, yeah. So you were, I think you did a lot of Mike and Mad Dog remotes, no?
Yes.
All right, so what was the first time you got hooked up with them?
Oh, I don't remember.
About?
Because they, once I started with them, both they used to come out, you know, and they might be out on opening day. Definitely once Mets Yankees started, they were always at the ballpark for that.
Oh, yeah. Fenway, they'd go up to Fenway for sure.
Yeah. I would go up during the postseason when they started in 96 and started in those runs.
Yeah. What about Bar A? You know, what about the beat stuff? Would you do the beat show?
No, I never did the beat. I always did Radio Row with them.
Yep. I used to see it at the Super Bowl. I got you. I knew that. Yeah.
So Radio Rows, definitely, you know, Yankees postseason. And when Chernoff would call me and say, "Oh, you know, the Mets are done, so you're not doing anything." Then you go up to the Bronx and help out Mike and the dog.
Sure, yeah,
not a problem.
So the mics are off, right? And Mike and Chris go to break. You having conversations with them? You know, are they talking to each other? Like, were you with them during their good period or their bad period?
Both.
Oh. Okay. You got any stories?
Nothing I want to say right now.
You can tell me on the road with St. John. So, speaking of the road, so you start in 93. You know, it's just a different civilization. It's a different culture. Guys are going out. They're spending all, you know, who knows what they're doing. You know, drinking. The modern athlete is just very aware of being filmed and I think also more in tune with his body. I mean, what are these road trips like now compared to probably the circus that it was back in the day?
Well, I mean, look, I'm at an age where I'm not going out that much myself now on the road, so I can't really speak to what they may be doing. But, yes, back in the day, you know, again, Eddie Coleman was doing Mets pre and post and all, and we'd be out there, and we'd be out on, you know, Rush Street in Chicago, and, you know, some members of the bullpen might be in the back of the lodge, and we might have a couple, you know, and just be hanging out and all that.
All right, man, we'll let you run, but do you remember the game, and I got a little trouble for this, but it's long enough where I can say it. I don't know how to. I basically lost my mind at the end of the St. John's Seton Hall game. Like, they were just when they were terrible. And they had, remember, they had that that conference losing streak, like 30 games. Do you remember that? Like, vaguely? I know you do so
vaguely.
Much.
So,
okay.
Yes.
And
yes,
I think they busted.
You've had a couple of those episodes.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Literally over the years.
All right, buddy.
But that's all in the past now.
It's a good times roll, Leo. And I think St. John's was up. And it was the first Big East game of the year. And the focus was like, come on, guys, can you please end the streak? Just have a good season here. I think it was early in Norm's regime, whatever. And, like, they blew this lead, and I just went bonkers. And, like, I heard, like, some of the priests weren't thrilled that they were listening back at the rectory at school. Do you remember that story?
Yes. It rings a bell.
Man. Well, listen, man, I don't know if you got 5,000 more St. John's games in you, but wherever the finish line is, whenever you get there, and I know it is down the road, it is going to be a rest well-deserved. An Iron Man, a good guy. A humble guy, and really, dude, I say this, I'm not going to name names, I wouldn't do that, but like when I pull up to the Garden and you're not there, I'm like, we'll get the job done, it'll still be good, but Madge is in here, never quite feels the same, so that's the highest compliment that I could give you, buddy.
Hey, BT, thank you so much, my friend.
You got it, the immortal one. Madge, 5,000 games? Oh my goodness. So let me see. Can you pull up? I know we got a break. Can you pull up, if you can beat me to it, the Mets year-by-year record? I want to see, what was their record in 93? That, you're starting to get into some weird times there. Obviously, the 86, the 88 season. Now you start bringing in some of these players, like the Colemans and the Saberhagens. I mean, it was a mess for a while. Hundley playing the outfield. All right, let me see. I actually got it. All right, so Mets starts in 1993. And the New York Mets were 59-103. Good season in Queens. God, they were just wretched. I didn't realize they were quite that bad. 59-103, my God. The year before he joined, they were 72-90. 94 was the condensed season, clearly, so they wouldn't really count that. Then in 95, they were 69-75. Then they were 71-91, and then they start ticking up a little bit, obviously, with the 97, yeah, all right, 98, 99, obviously a really good year, lost the NLCS. So it did not start well for Madge. Hopefully it finishes well for Madge, unless, of course, they play the Yankees in the World Series.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.